Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from David Lindell, West Campus Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
As we jump back in and look at a few aspects of Romans chapter 4 and some of the verses that we looked at on Sunday, before we come and spend some time in the presence of the Lord and continue just to wait on Him, I was drawn to what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4:18, where he says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Tonight I want to speak to you just for a few moments on the eternal perspective of faith. Because faith gives us a new lens. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith gives us a new grid to process what we encounter in life. Faith gives us new perspective, eternal perspective, which is part of what the Apostle Paul is laying out for us when he talks about the way that Abraham processed the promise, the way that Abraham walked according to the promise. And as we said on Sunday, though Paul is speaking primarily about this issue of justification, he does lay out for us the way that Abraham responded to the promise of God. And it's this eternal perspective of faith that's in play in Romans chapter 4. And we're going to go back to that just looking at verse 16 through 21. And it says, "For Abraham is the father of all who believe." That is what the scripture means when God told him, "I have made you the father of many nations." This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, "That's how many descendants you will have." And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God was able to do whatever he promises. Whatever he promises. Paul tells us in this passage that faith gives us reasons to live with an eternal perspective. Faith gives us reasons to live with an eternal perspective. And the first reason that we find in this passage is that you have a reason to hope. You have reason to hope. Look at this in verse 17 again. Abraham believed in the God who brings. God brings new reasons, and he brings reason to hope. He believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing, even when there was no reason to hope. Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations, for God had said to him, "That's how many descendants you will have." You know, notice this. Hope wasn't based on what he saw, what he could see, what he could perceive with his senses. It was because of who God is. Even when he had no reason to hope. The ESV, we said on Sunday, says hope against hope. Hope against the backdrop of no hope. Hope against the backdrop of no resource. Hope against the backdrop of no strength. Hope against the backdrop of no energy. Hope against hope. Hope against the backdrop of no reason to hope. Hope that is not informed by circumstances, but informed by the God who is above those circumstances. That's what we're talking about. Abraham, on the surface, had no reason to hope, no reason for hope, but he hoped anyway. Why? Paul says Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. He hoped against hope because his hope was based in a person, not in a second set of circumstances. That God, when our faith is in him, when our faith is in his character and nature, when we really comprehend, understand, and take stock of who he is, it gives rise to hope that fuels an eternal perspective that allows us to look beyond what is temporal toward what is eternal and live our lives in regard to what we see through that lens. So, number one, you have reason to hope. And I want to add this in because this, when you say you have reason to hope, I think we need to remember the God who we're talking about. Remember what Paul says in Romans chapter 8 in verse 30? And those whom he called, he justified. And that's what Paul's talking about in Romans chapter 4. Remember, he's talking about justification. Paul says, based on, if you springboard off justification, here's where you go. And those who he justified, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? Okay, when you take stock of justification, when you understand that you have been clothed in Christ's righteousness, not because you did anything spectacular, you earned it, you merited it, you worked for it, just because of who he is. When you take stock of that, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Okay, if it's God who justifies, who is to condemn? Nobody. The answer to that is nobody. Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. In other words, the reason you hope is because God in heaven, God, very God, is interceding for you. You have the most powerful advocate in all of the universe and beyond the universe. Interceding for you. He's interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness? What is that? When there's no reason to hope. Danger, the sword. Paul's trying to exhaust all the reasons that you or I could say, but you don't know my situation. The backdrop of my situation is worse than anything you described in Romans 8. And Paul says, ain't gonna happen. Or sword, as it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. Can't get worse than that. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have reason to hope. Reason to hope. Now, you have a reason to be strong. You have a reason to be strong. Look at verse 19. And Abraham's faith did not weaken. Even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead. And so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. In this, he brought glory to God. Not because he was strong. Do you see that? Not because, like these guys are. These guys are strong. You're like, what are they doing? Not because he was strong. Not, you know what? Your calling is to be strong, not because you are strong. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And you can back up a little bit, fellas. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Because you're strong? No, not because you're strong. Was Abraham strong? No. Have you ever gotten up in the morning and looked in the mirror and just said, wow. It's gonna be rough. I got dark. Man, I look terrible. Yeah. Got big dark circles under my eyes. Whew, suck it in. Suck it in. Suck it in. Shoulders back, chest out, stomach in. Why did Becky marry me? You know, like, Do you ever do that? Like, you're like, oh man, that wasn't there yesterday. That's Abraham. Abraham is, he's standing in the mirror and he's going, God made me a promise that I'm going to be the father of many nations, but my belly's flabby and my face is wrinkled and man, I look tired. I look like I'm 100. Oh, I am. Like I'm, my body's as good as dead. Man, I look like I'm older than 100. Like this is bad. Like, here's what happens. A lot of times we evaluate the strength of our faith and our ability to act on God's calling based on this. We look in the mirror and we say, that person cannot do what God has called them to do. Why? Well, because look at him. That will not happen. So we're waiting for the day when our biceps are bigger and our energy is greater and our sleep deficit is smaller and our children are older and our bank account is bigger and our health is stable to do what God called us to do because our faith is in us. Hey, you know what? There's no way that promise can come true because Abraham, if he's looking in the mirror, he's saying, I am an old man married to an old woman, and we're both as good as dead. That's what we got going for us right here. So how, with that as the picture, with that being what's in the mirror, how likely is it for him to feel strong about the promise of God being accomplished in his life? The answer is, that would be very unlikely. And the issue for us is that often what we're doing is we're saying, well, I'll be strong when God makes me strong. If God wants me to do that, well then, you know, if God wants me to lift that weight, he'll give me bigger muscles. If God wants me to do that, well, then I'm waiting for God to do something for me or for myself. A lot of times it's for myself to do something for me so that I'm ready to do what God's called me to do. Or I say, well, that promise can't be for now. That promise can't be real because look at me. And God says, stop looking at you. Your promise doesn't come from what you see right here. Your promise, the promise and the fulfillment of the promise is found in here. That's where it is. You don't find the fulfillment to the promise in the mirror. You don't find the strength of faith in the mirror. The strength isn't built off who you are. It's built off who he is. The strong faith is not fueled by a great self-awareness. Now, was Abraham self-aware? Yeah, he knew the way things stood. He knew the lay of the land. He had a very good understanding of his age, of his strength, and of his wife's strength. He knew that they weren't in physical shape for the promise to be fulfilled, but he didn't base the strength of his faith on what he saw in the mirror. Where did the strength of his faith come from? Because it's the same place where the strength for your faith comes from. It's the same place. Look at this. He didn't feel strong. He didn't feel able. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 20. And this is so great. This is the paraphrase in the message. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged himself into the promise and came up strong, ready for God. Do you understand? Where does strength come from? It comes from plunging yourself in the promise. If you will plunge yourself into God's promises, guess what? You come up strong. If you plunge yourself into the realities about yourself and let those realities, because oftentimes it's not just looking in the mirror, it's allowing the mirror to magnify all of the things the devil has said to you. So that what happens is you start listening to the enemy, you start looking at yourself, and all of a sudden, instead of getting stronger, you get weaker. Because you're looking in the wrong place. Abraham didn't just look at himself. He took stock of himself, didn't find strength in himself, and therefore ran and plunged himself into the promises of God, knowing that that was where strength would be found. It's found in God's. And isn't that what faith is? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. Well, I mean, based on what I'm seeing, I mean, I don't know how God could do that. It's not about what you can see. It's an eternal perspective. It's not a temporal perspective. It's a spiritually informed perspective, not a physically informed perspective. And so strength for faith comes in an assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of what you can't see with your eyes. The promises, the promises, the promises. This is why the Puritan pastor and theologian Richard Baxter says this, or it's Thomas Watson, excuse me. Trade much in the promises. Trade much in the promises. The promises are great supports to faith. Trade much in the promises. The promises are great supports to faith. Faith lives in a promise. As the fish lives in the water, the promises are both comforting and quickening. The promises of God keep us from sinking when we come to the waters of affliction. Oh, trade much in the promises. There is not condition that you can be in, but you have a promise. Do you understand that? There is no situation, there is no circumstance, there is no trouble, trial, or affliction that you will come up against to which the promises of God do not hold as a bulwark and a fortress for. Nothing. Sorry, I'm shouting at you so much, but golly, get this. I'm preaching to myself, get this. There is not a situation you will face in your entire life, not for one nanosecond, for which the promises of God will not be a firm foundation and a strengthening force for your faith. Oh, man. Train much in the promises of God. Saturate yourself in the promises of God. Why could Abraham, an old man at the end of his life, say, God, I believe that? You know why? Because Abraham lived in that promise. Abraham thought about that promise and meditated on that promise. He talked to Sarah about that promise. He lived in the promise. The writer of Hebrews talks about the way that he saturated his soul with the promise because he knew he would not find strength in here or out there. He would only find strength for faith in the promise, in the promise, in the promise. You have reason to hope. You have a reason to hope. You have a reason for strength. But now also this, you have a reason to be confident. You have a reason to hope. You have a reason to be strong. You have a reason to be confident. Look at verse 21. He was, who is this? It's Abraham again. He was fully convinced that God was able to do whatever, whatever. Somebody say whatever. Whatever he promises. You have reason to be confident because God is able. You have reason to be confident because God is able. Abraham recognized who he was dealing with. Every once in a while, we need to remember who we're dealing with. Who are you dealing with? When you pray, you're dealing with the creator of heaven and earth, the one who speaks out of nothing, creates everything. That's who you're dealing with. You're dealing with the one who says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. And he's being serious. He's the one who spun the earth into orbit. He's the one who created the sun and the stars and the moon. He's the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. Remember who you're dealing with. He's the judge of all creation. He's the God who loves you enough to send his only begotten son to die in your place for your sin. Remember who you're dealing with. Abraham considered his situation with God's omnipotence in mind. He didn't let his power, the power of God, pass through. He took stock of it. He got a hold of it. He applied it. And therefore, he walked in a confident faith. Because a confident faith is not, we said this on Sunday, a confident faith is not, I just need to believe more. I just need to try harder. A confident faith is fueled by a revelation of Creator God. Confident faith comes from taking stock of who he is. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. That is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life, who creates new things out of nothing. The same God that Jeremiah 32, verse 17 talks about, O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing. Job 42, 2, Job says, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Do you believe that? That no purpose of God can be thwarted. If God sets it in motion, he finishes what he starts. He finishes what he starts. You have reason to be confident. Tonight, I don't know where you find yourself. I don't know if you say, you know what? I'm like at the opposite end of the spectrum from Abraham. We talk about people not wavering in faith. I feel weak and I feel wavering. Do you know this tonight? You don't have to leave that way. Can it happen in a moment? God can start it in a moment. God can reignite it in a moment. Tonight there's some, and you're walking through a life, you're walking through the season that you're in, and you don't feel hopeful, and you don't feel strong, and you don't feel confident, and ever so subtly, it's become about feeling. Are emotions important? Yes, but we don't ride on those. We don't trade on those. What do we trade? We trade much, much, much in the promises of God. Know the promise, live in the promise, swim in the promise, saturate yourself in the promise.